kind of that aspect of studying the faith. And so this is actually written by, and each day is a different lesson from a church founding father. And so this one is John Chrysostom, and he preached from 344 to 407. Okay, so that was his lifespan. So we're talking about 300 to 400 AD, right? So the fourth century, okay? So, but he writes, we must profit from our times in the church. And the verse they use is from James, a big fan. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So I'm going to paraphrase a fair bit. But he says, you've applauded my lessons. Go further and show me your applause by your lives. In other words, what's the benefit of our meeting here? Suppose a child went to school every day, yet learned nothing from it. Would we be fobbed off with the excuse that at least he went there every day? On the contrary, wouldn't we think it even worse that going there every day, he did it to no avail? Let's apply this to ourselves and say to ourselves, for such a long time now, we've been meeting together at church, enjoying the blessing of a most sacred fellowship within which is treasured up a great value. And shall we go back home again just the same as we came, with none of our sins corrected? If that is our case, what has been the point of coming here? He goes on to say, most things are done not for their own sakes, but for this, but for their outcomes. For example, the farmer does not sow seed for the mere sake of sowing, but that he may reap a harvest. If the harvest doesn't follow, the sowing would be a total waste, and so the seeds would be of not any benefit. Again, the merchant doesn't go on a voyage merely to travel, but to enlarge his wealth on foreign shores. If he doesn't accomplish this, great damage to his business will result, and the voyages of the merchants would all result in loss. Truly, let's apply this to ourselves, for us too. We meet together in the church not just to spend time here, but so that we may go home having obtained a great spiritual benefit. If we go home empty-handed, without having received any benefit, then the time and energy we have spent will only serve to condemn us. So we're being exposed to the truth, and we go home unchanged. It only serves to prove the point of what bad shape we're in, and we don't care. So, but anyway, from an early church father, this has been an issue. Okay, what do we do with our time here in church? Okay, what is it? What good is it for us? So, brings us to week four. Review of vow A, and if you have not been to service yet, you're going to get to review these as well. All right, he goes you right through the line, so it's almost like a dress rehearsal for when you guys, if you go forward to take your vows. Okay, so they will ask, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God without hope for your salvation except in his sovereign mercy? And our hope is that each of you will say, I do. Okay. And then we ask, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, and do you receive and depend on him alone for your salvation as he is offered in the gospel? And the hope is that everyone says, I do. And then vow C, do you now promise and resolve in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ? And our hope is that people say, I do. Okay? And one of the things Dr. Weber points out when he reviews these vows this morning is there is a shift between the first two vows and these next two vows. Okay? First three vows, our hope is that every Christian would say, I do, emphatically, to those questions. But now, do you promise to serve Christ in his church by supporting and participating with this congregation in its service of God and its ministry to others to the best of your ability? And the hope is that you will say, I do. Okay. So, you notice a difference in the first three vows compared to this one. The first three vows, they ask, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? And in this vow, they say, do you promise to serve? So, This is the first one that actually requires action, hands and feet. Okay? So, Ephesians 2:10, we see we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So I want to encourage you, guys, we're made for this. We're made for good works. And when we organize within the body to do them, it's like having much, much bigger muscles. Okay? You guys know what simple machines are, right? Mm-hmm. All right? And there are basically six of them, and we put them in combination, and we do really, really cool things. We drive to places, we move stuff, right? All with just wheels, gear, or axles, pulleys. But simple machines multiply and redirect force. Okay? And so work can't be done unless force is applied and something moves. So what we're doing here within the church is simply multiplying by all of us, applying force, okay? And that's for the sake of the gospel, okay? We are made for these good works, all right? Do you notice the three verbs you are promising to do? Remember, what's a verb?
Action.
Action, that's right. That's what's, so the Schoolhouse Rock song, verb, that's what's happening. All right, so what are our verbs? Do you promise to serve Christ and his church by supporting and participating with this congregation in its service and its ministry to others to the best of your ability? So
serve,
pick out support. Any verbs. What?
Serve, support.
All right. What? You just went for all three. Okay. All right, that's okay. All right, well, he knows we're on a time crunch today, so he went for all three. Nope, that's all right. You're the teacher's kid. You're an overachiever. It happens. All right, so do you promise to serve? Okay. By supporting and participating. Okay, these are actions. And this is the first of the action vows. Okay? So, serving. All right? Christian service is God's love that we have received abundantly from him through Jesus' sacrificial life, death, and resurrection, pouring out of us to the blessing and benefit of others. Okay? Serving is sacrificial. Okay? But in many ways, serving is a simple task. And here are some examples within this body. Okay? Children's youth helpers. Vacation Bible school youth helpers. Usher's guild with your parents. Service projects. Okay? We have all these things going on regularly. One of the things that this particular group of young people has been, the music. The way you guys participate in music is so encouraging, okay? Thank you. And I know I probably trip over myself because it's like, I only said thank you once. Because we do appreciate you guys' hand-ups. We appreciate playing piano. We appreciate the music you're playing in the youth room, okay? You guys are sharing those gifts, okay? But there's additional spots we can do them, all right? Support. Supporting this congregation in its service to God and its ministry to others to the best of your ability, okay? God wants our time, talents, and treasures, which he has given to us, okay? Serving is a way of giving our time as a gift to the Lord. All right? And support. Using our talents to bless others, playing music, singing, and or playing in the choirs, youth sports, and so many other activities, so many other ways. Each week, our worship service includes the reception of tithes and offerings. It is an opportunity for us to give back a portion of what the Lord has given to us. Okay? Now, tithing is a biblical act. It's basically we receive funds from our jobs, and we believe those jobs were where the Lord has us plugged in to provide for our families, and we give back a portion of that to the church, so that once again, collectively, we are working for the spread of the gospel, okay? One of the things our church says is tithes and offerings. So we are giving him, what is that? His tithe and our offerings, okay? So our church actually even already identifies by what they say, they're reminding us, this tithe is for all practical purposes, already his. What we do on top of that is an offering. Okay? I will tell you, you will not outgive God. Okay, God does not need your money, but you will not outgive him. Okay, it is an act of obedience that is a life practice I encourage you to do. It is not easy. In our house, one of the things that we continue to hold each other accountable on is, okay, has the tithe check been written? Have we tithed on that? And, you know, we have jobs that some of it is on the regular and then some of it is sporadic. Like I do sales and do some consulting jobs. And so those checks kind of come in and they're easy to kind of, we really need that. Nope. Always tithe. At least tithe. Look for the opportunity to give an offering though as well. Okay. So I call her the CFO of our house. She's the chief financial officer. And I joke that I'm the CEO. So like I plan the course of what we're trying to do, but to make sure I don't go off the rails, I have her hold the checkbook. Because it's very easy for me to be like, all right, I want to take my family to go do this. Isn't this a good thing? But the Lord's given me a helpmate that I say, hey, hon, this is something I'd like to do. What are your thoughts? And she does the same with me. Hey, we have this thing coming up. Can we make sure we get that done? So anyway, quick aside. But any thoughts on the tithing portion?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important, and it's a way to acknowledge that the Lord's going to provide, right? And so I always kind of think of like the manna, you know, the story of the manna in the Old Testament, you know, that like they have this need for physical food, mm-hmm. and so it's like, is the Lord going to send more tomorrow? Yes. Yep. And they were instructed not to take more than they needed. Mm-hmm. And so, but you know, there's that human nature tendency to like, well, I better just in case God mm-hmm. doesn't come through tomorrow. And so, you know, so I think kind of like in a modern day, like, it's like, this is, you know, that's kind of how you feel when you get your paycheck. Like, golly, I've got all these bills. I hate to give because maybe God won't provide or maybe it won't work out. But it's just like, so when you do just, you know, give your tithe, it is an act of being like, nope, I believe that God will provide tomorrow, just like he provided today, yep. and I'm going to trust him in that. And, you know, and I think that it's not like, if you don't do it, it's not like the Lord's going to strike you. He's a good,
punitive.
Generous God. He understands our weakness in that area. Yep. But I think that as we grow and as we're learning and trying to be more faithful in that area, the Lord does bless us and mm-hmm. seeing that I will provide for you. I am not, like you said, he's not short on money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is, you know, all of it's his. And so, and I think too, you know, another aspect, sometimes we think of it in terms of like we're giving our 10% to the Lord, but actually we're keeping 90%. Mm-hmm. And we actually have an obligation with that 90% to make sure that that 90% is being used in a way that honors the Lord.
Yep.
And so, yes, take a vacation, buy yourself something, you know, give an offering, you know, pay your bills, all of those things, but do it in ways that honor the Lord. What am I purchasing? What am I, you know, how am I spending my, you know, kind of like fun money or what, all that kind of stuff. Like, hopefully it's to do things that honor the Lord. And so that's its own kind of lesson and kind of a way that our money can like direct us.
Yeah. And, you know, I think scripturally the tithe goes to the church and offerings can go to the church. Offerings can also go to other things that we are encouraged by or that we want to be a part of. For example, there are other ministries, the sports ministries,
campus outreach
that you can, I would discourage breaking your tithe apart. The tithe, I would say, goes to the church that you're a member of, right. And then offering anything you're wanting to give above, then you look for opportunities to give to organizations that are alongside the work of the church. Okay, I would not take your tithe and spread it out and say, oh, well, that's, I don't tithe to the church because it's a big church and they seem to have everything they need, so I give my tithe where I want to give it. Obedience is obedience, okay? And we're told that obedience is better than sacrifice, okay?
It's also a worship experience.
Yes.
We come to church to worship.
There's a reason that this is done in the worship
service. Yeah. I was taught that at a really young age. This is just, money that you earn, you take your percentage, you always just give it to the church because it was all the Lord's in the first place.
Yep. Yep. All right, so 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. All right, any questions on the how this works? All right, so now, participating. Participating with this congregation in its service to God and its ministry to others to the best of your ability. All right, youth group activities, okay? I'm going to flip this on its head a little bit, and I'm confident that Pastor Whalen would agree. We have folks who will they neglect coming to Sunday morning worship, but they're at any fun event at which food is served and games are played, but they can't, for whatever reason, they're not coming to worship. We think that that's something you should participate in. In addition to worship. So, youth group activities, SNL, Wednesday evenings, choir, handbells, children's church, VBS, summer youth interns, etc. Basically, being engaged in the events that your youth leaders have prepared for your fellowship and your growth. Okay, we actually have the benefit of, I think last time we counted, do we have 6 schools represented? We have a number of schools, okay? Public, private, homeschool, co-ops, homeschools that are not in co-ops. We have tons of different sports represented. We have a ton of different backgrounds represented. You have an opportunity to get a really good view of the body of Christ, and you get to practice chatting with each other and building relationships here so that you know what a good, healthy relationship looks like and even feels like and can enjoy outside of the church. Okay.
I would also add too that, like, you know, in our church bulletin, we always have, like, on our card our prayer opportunities. So some of you may feel like, well, I'm not a singer, or I'm not, you know, maybe I do something else, so I couldn't attend, you know, a youth event. We can't all participate in everything, but, you know, throughout the week, you know, our church prints this out. Like, some of these are people that I don't even know this person's name, but they go here. And so it's somebody that I can be praying, and the Lord hears the prayers of righteous people. And so, you know, that is a way that you can also participate and support this local body, is by, you know, remembering to lift these people up as you do your own prayers throughout the week.
Good point. Okay. And speaking of things kind of outside of our youth group, on that same note, acknowledge younger kids as they're coming out of Club 56 and they're looking to join the youth group. When you guys find that you're inviting a friend and you're, oh, I really, really hope that someone else in the youth group talks to them, okay, bringing your friends in and then looking, and okay, you brought a friend. All right, let's make sure we go talk to the friends, all right? Take note of some of the folks who chose to come back for a season to help. So Josh and Jordan, they texted me this morning that they've fallen ill, but those are people who, Joshua especially, I remember Joshua when he turned 14 years old. I've actually been on a paintball field with Joshua Sawson before we even, I mean, I don't even know if we were attending the church at that point, but I probably got shot by Joshua Sawson playing paintball, okay? But he is, you know, many, many years later, the Lord's worked in his heart in such a spot that I want to go back to the church I grew up in, and I want to be a part of what it is they're doing, okay? So take note of some of those people. Feel free to pick their brain, because they're not so far removed from where you are now that they don't remember what it was like, okay? All right, continuing to participate. Being aware of the people around you. Being patient with an elderly person that's walking in front of you. One of the things that I love about this church is we are transgenerational. Okay? Some of you can point to, my grandparents went to church here. Or, my elderly next door neighbor went to church here. Or, worked in the nursery, and so I know little kids that I used to play with at VBS and at Sunday school that are now in Club 56. You know, these are all, we have multiple age groups within our church, and I think that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I remember being in my 30s, and I was one of the oldest people in a church, and it felt weird. Weird to be a 30-year-old and be one of the oldest people in the church. Okay, we actually get the joy of having people that have gone before us, people coming in behind us, and enjoy that. Okay? All right, simple participation idea. Smile. You have no idea the impact you can have in God's kingdom and on someone with the simplest of gestures. And if all else fails, I encourage you, WWJED. You guys remember Miss Eaton? All right. What would Jennifer Eaton do? All right. That is an excited lady for trying to get people connected in our church. Okay. I got to know her sons a little bit. I enjoyed chatting with her husband a fair bit. But man, none of them can hold a candle to that lady walking around and greeting people. And she will do, I am sorry I've forgotten your name, but I saw you last week. What is your name? I'm Jennifer. Good to see you again. Thanks for coming back. And not in a high-pressure sales kind of situation, just welcoming. All right? So when you find that situation, oh, I think that's a new person. What can I do with this? WWJED. Okay? What would Jennifer Eaton do? All right. And it is worth repeating. Okay? Going back to the book of James. Okay? It's a fantastic resource upon Christian living. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. The idea being faith is like a muscle. Okay, and have you ever heard the term atrophy? Maybe in like an anatomy class, a muscle that is not used will atrophy. Okay, you heard that doctors told you when you were working on your wrist, rehab for you is going to be a big, big deal. Okay, because if you the less you use the muscles, the weaker they become. They actually lose their density. All right. So the way that muscles are grown is actually they have to be torn apart a little bit. And for that to happen, oxygen has to go out of the muscle. So that burning you feel when you're running in your legs, or if you're doing push-ups, kind of that soreness you feel across your shoulders and your back, that's oxygen leaving your muscles. And it's only when you reach that point are you reaching the muscle to fatigue, and you're tearing it apart such that it can be rebuilt. So think of your faith as a muscle. There is some discomfort, okay? In giving, there's discomfort. In meeting new people, in participating, in figuring out where can I fit into this church that I'm joining, there is some pain, okay? But, okay, faith by works, okay? Works don't save you, but they do grow your faith. All right?
That list of opportunities, some of you have already experienced them maybe by helping in children's church or Usher's Guild or any of that.
Yeah.
These are very, very simple ways.
They are.
Very simple ways of participating.
And we thank you for that. Those of you, and a ton of you are already participating. So we're going to wrap really quick. Two things. One, because we're wrapping, we're not going to do a testimony this morning, but Andrew and I will share ours at some point, as well as Joshua and possibly Jordan. Second thing, if you guys are coming up with questions, please feel free to ask them. I know this morning was a little bit short. You can email them to Shane. You can email them directly to me. And what we'll do is we're collecting them and putting them into a Q&A on the last week. Don't feel, though, that you have to wait till the last week. Okay? But if it's a question that we're touching on now, we will gladly hold, work it into the lesson. But if there's something you want to pose a question on, church government, doctrinal, you know, practice, those type of things, send them in, please. We will get them answered. Okay? So, but there we go. Yes?
A couple of people. Tell me your name.
Anna Grace.
Anna, yep.
Okay. And yours?
I'm Moose. Oh.
Yours? This,
Carson.
Carson Lehman.
Okay. Sorry.
All good. All right. Andrew, do you mind closing us in prayer? And then, we are meeting again in the Quinlan room, in the large room. Shane would like to chat with us for a couple minutes.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your gifts to us that you bestow upon us, Lord, so that we can serve in your body. We thank you, Father, for the things that we've learned this morning and the ways that we can apply our worship and glorify you and honor you by serving this body here. I thank you for each and every individual in this room, Lord. I thank you for the ways that you have blessed them, and I pray, Lord, for opportunities for them to serve in many, many ways. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for giving us these things, for blessing us abundantly. That you would forgive our sins, that you would bless our week, and any prayer requests that these individuals have, Lord, you know them because you see our hearts. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, guys.